encumbered has been submitted to the governing body, so I'll let the commission know when I hear back from that. All the RFPs that have been previously approved by the commission have been placed on the county website and have been advertised in the Pinedale Roundup. Jorgensen's study for the Hoback Ranches grant is complete, so I'm going to review that once Brian brings it over later today or tomorrow, and then I will submit that to the Office of Homeland Security, and that will conclude phase one of that grant process. Then Homeland Security and FEMA will analyze that and see if phase two is going to be funded. Fingers crossed. Mr. Chairman, did you want me to present those two amended agenda items pertaining to the contracts now?
Yeah, we can.
Okay. I guess we'll do the easy one first. The three contracts with each of the municipalities for law enforcement services, just renewals of existing contracts. They've all been signed by the mayors of the respective towns, and I would submit that to the commission for their consideration.
Make a motion we approve the renewals of the contracts.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second, and I'm good. The question I have is these have been reviewed by the county attorney's office?
They have, correct.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second to approve the contracts with the municipalities for law enforcement. There's not any other questions or comments. I'll call the vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
So the second contract.
My apologies.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman. Right. On this next issue, Matt and I have worked together with the contract for the Veterans Memorial. So I'm just coming up here to chime in if we need more.
Thank you.
All right. So the contract with BOT, Clayton worked diligently to produce a more favorable contract. I guess. So the commission is aware, the urgency here is that if we're able to execute the contract now, we'll save approximately $14,000 off the total contract price because the prices for the three slabs have been frozen through December 31st of this year. And so I know this, the commission had asked for this to come during the regular budget process, but that's why we're presenting it here today. So again, the contract is for three slabs. The town will provide $25,000 in the deposit, and then the county will be responsible for the additional $158,000 roughly for the total project cost. So I don't know how detailed the commission wants me to go into the contract. I can answer any questions you may have about the project itself or the cost or the scope.
Okay.
You're okay with the contract as is?
So to bring you up speed, and this is, and my apologies, I didn't visit with you this morning earlier about it, but I have been working with Mr. Bott of the Bott Monument. He's looked at him, he's approved. The one issue that is somewhat at question on these contracts after I was able to send them to Matt on Friday is whether or not the county's payment would be full payment in April upon budgeting, or if it would be 50% in April. 50% of the remaining $153,000 and change that Matt just mentioned, either 50% in April and then 50% upon completion, or the full remainder at April, and
I guess I'm raising my eyebrows because what we discussed with Mr. Washington when this was brought before us was that in principle we would agree to do this project when we brought before budget and approved the budget. The budget itself won't be approved to July, so I'm a little bit uncomfortable at this point signing a contract that say we would pay half of that amount in April or all of the amount in April unless I'm missing something, because I think you guys were present as well, and I think that was the intention, that we had the verbal approval to go ahead with this pending our budget request, and we would favorably consider their request at budget time. So I guess what you're saying is the contract is going to require us to spend money before we approve next year's budget.
And this is where I, not being privy to that conversation with the folks you just mentioned, and trying to figure out the details with Mr. Bott and being under this relatively, and well, crunch timeline creates problems. So Mr. Bott was under the impression that, he was under the impression after his conversations with whoever he was speaking to with the VFW and with the town that $25,000 would be coming before the end of the year that would secure the deposit on the slabs, that the purchase of the slabs as they arrive would be coming in April-ish to cover the cost of the slabs, and then the room, he would be able to do the work, engraving, cutting, so on and so forth on his end, and the installation and delivery, and then receive the final payment at the upon completion in August. That was his understanding, and so ultimately the commission can sign whichever contract or no contract at this point. It's the key issue is, as Matt mentioned, that $14,100 that would increase after the first of the year.
When we had this conversation initially with Mr. Washam, the question was raised almost immediately about the urgency of the project. Is this something that has to be done now, or can it wait to the budget process? I think it was our understanding with Mr. Washam that this could wait till the budget process. What came about in somewhat of a hurried fashion was when we were presented with the town of Pinedale's proposal to put the down payment down so they can order the marble before the end of the year, thereby saving $14,000 on the project. But at the same time, and correct me if I'm wrong, this appears to be, and this is a question for both of you, putting us under the gun to have to complete this by the end of the year when our direction and our move was to not take this project or to pay for this project till the next budget year, because we can't spend money that we haven't budgeted. Am I missing something?
I don't disagree on that point, and that's why this is a little bit cart before the horse. I don't know the returnable nature of the $25,000 deposit. Essentially, if the county was to choose not to sign the contract, then there's a little bit of a limbo point where the town is somewhat out there, where they've thrown in their chips, their $25,000 into this project, and the stones have been ordered.
Has the town thrown in their $25,000 before we signed the MOU?
No, but
okay, so we haven't signed the MOU.
Assuming the MOU gets signed.
I was under the impression that we would pay the $25,000 to Bott and the town would reimburse us.
Mm-hmm. And that sounds right.
Yeah.
Either way, it's still the
But the money wasn't going to take place till we had the MOU between the town and the county.
Right.
But now
we
it's
have
gone.
Not written the check.
But now it's gone from the MOU, which originally the county attorney correctly had a problem with the contract, and hence you get involved in that and maybe got the problem signed with the contract, except in agreeing to the contract, we would have to pay all or part of the money by April.
Yes, and this is an interesting one, because in my mind, it appears that if the decision to do this project, if it's gonna happen, the decision almost needs to be made now or later plus $14,000. That seems to be the issue, because and that's why the contract is written for the whole ball of wax, so to speak.
So there we go, commissioners. What do you have to say?
Does Carrie, do you have any creative ideas?
We don't have a budget for that.
Oh, I understand.
That's all I can tell you.
Construction line item that it could fall under?
if you decided to do this, we would have to make a budget adjustment and a budget amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have to come out of the reserve. But there is nothing budgeted at this time for that amount of money for the project.
And I think that was explained when we had our meeting, how the budgeting process works and why we would consider this at budget time so that we could allocate money from the new budget for this project.
Yes.
So, Mr. Chairman, is it doable to go ahead and with the MOU with the town to pay the, what was it, 25,000, 20,000, whatever
25.
It was, 25,000 now, and then the final payment would occur after we adopt our next budget?
Please clarify for me dates on that. That's July?
July 17th.
July 17th.
Mm-hmm.
The understanding I have from speaking with Mr. Bott, the contractor on this, he told me that he can't carry the overhead that long on this. He doesn't have it. So if we want this project to go forward, in addition to the $25,000 deposit, he's going to need more come springtime to cover the overhead on this until it's completed in August.
Mr. Chairman,
Commissioner Noble.
It's my assumption that we all agree on this project is moving forward. It's the money that's the issue, and if that's the case, I recommend we do a budget transfer.
Well, I need to hear from the rest of the commissioners.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. Have the commissioners always paid for, have they paid the entire bill for this memorial in the park?
So, you might be able to answer that.
We were able to dig up some numbers from 2007, 2008, thanks to Carrie's research, and county records indicate that the county paid $198,000,
okay.
About $198,000 last time, but we can't tell if the cemetery district or the towns also contributed to that cost. All we can pull are the vouchers from those that were submitted to the county from that project 10, 11 years ago.
That answers my question.
So, I mean, essentially, Mr. Chair, it comes down to, I mean, saving money is nice, but if it's not worth this rushed process and bringing this through when all budget requests are heard in May, I mean, $14,000 out of $183,000, it's a good chunk of money, but it's 5% or less of the total project cost. So I can understand the commission's hesitation with moving forward the way the contract is structured at this point, given that there's no budget. It would take a budget amendment. So I fully understand the commission's concerns.
Okay. Mr.
Baker?
Well, I'm thinking... I'm not sure what I'm thinking, but I'm thinking that if we don't go ahead with this, then, as I understood it, it doesn't get built, and then we're going to be looking at a year later in order to get the memorials. Is that not kind of the way it would be? Because I thought this was somewhat of a time-sensitive thing so that it could be in place when the anniversary, if it would, comes around. And I'm in agreement with Tom. If we were going to do it, then we should do it. I mean, $12,000, $14,000 is still significant savings, and it's not going to cost us a lot to make that budget transfer, is it? Carrie, what's it cost? Not much.
It doesn't cost anything to make a budget transfer. We just have to advertise it. The fact is, it's just not in this budget.
I understand that, but we have the reserves that we could transfer to make this happen. Is that not right?
You do.
And in the process, it would save, is it 12 or 14,000?
Also, Mr. Chairman, there was never really clarification on whether it was going to be two slabs or three slabs.
It's three slabs in this contract.
Right, but whenever you had the beginning conversation.
Well, that's true. We talked about both, but we didn't, at that time, we didn't have to make a decision, so we didn't. And my understanding to Mr. Vickery, and this I think came from Mayor Murdoch, was that if they ordered the slabs the first part of July, they could still have them delivered or manufactured by September or October, so they could still be put in this coming year. Now, I may be wrong, but that's what I'm recalling. I didn't know that was an issue. When we first discussed this, it was there wasn't an urgent rush on this. We had time to still get it done next fall. The whole question in this is a rush to do it in an attempt to save $14,000.
That's my recollection.
And it's whatever you guys feel like you want to do. But that's the issue. And the position was that we would be in favor of it. It was explained to Mr. Washam that, and he said there wasn't an urgency in terms of having to have the slabs, that we would get that done at our next budget hearing. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he was fine with that at the time.
That's my reflection too.
If I may, if it would make you all more comfortable, we could table this until this afternoon. I can reach out, connect with Mr. Bott to clarify your questions of an actual timeline of when slabs need to be ordered, when dollars need to be in, and when, how long it's actually going to take him to cut, engrave, and do all his processing.
I have no problem with postponing until this afternoon if you want.
And that would also give commissioners the opportunity to review these contracts on breaks.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian.
So I will pass these out. You would take one and pass around, and this is the final that would be signed, and this is also the final that would be signed of the town, and so here's the updated memorandum with the town and that contract. And for to note on this, this would be, the way this contract is written is a 50% payment in April, 50% payment upon completion. I also have a draft that says full payments upon project completion. That we can discuss as well.
Okay, thanks, Tom. We'll consider that after lunch.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Okay. As far behind as we are, I think we're up to Sheriff Lear.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners.
Yes.
Hi, Casey. Hi. So, I guess the purpose of this meeting is just to revisit issue of flex time that I brought up a month ago during the Commissioners' meeting. I know I've spoken with some of you. Some of you talked with some other department heads. See if you have any recommendation. More decision regarding that.
I looked at your proposal, talked about it. I didn't talk with the department heads, but personally, I think it seems reasonable.
Okay.
But I don't know. We have not discussed it.
Sure. And would this be easier just to make a countywide policy, or would you be more comfortable with leaving this up to the individual department heads to run their own departments, create their own policy concerning this? Because right now I think we do have departments that are somewhat doing this. So, I mean, that would ultimately take it out of your hands instead of proposing an entire county policy, but leaving it up to the individual departments. For individual policy.
I've had a chance to reach out to some of the department heads, and I think I would go with your latter suggestion and leave it up to the department heads to make their own policy.
I don't have a problem with that.
That's very feasible for us, yes.
It seems to be the direction that the other ones would
and
like
from
to
what
go
that. The individuals that I've talked to have to
make their own
as well.
Decision.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I guess I'm fine with that as long as there's consensus that the concept of flex time is countywide, that we don't get in a situation like you could get into, say, every department head sets her own salaries different. then it creates a problem for the county. But I don't see that as being an issue with the flex time, because the department heads will use it the way they need to use it to meet the needs of that particular department. Is that,
yes,
does that make sense to you, Casey?
Yes.
So I
just
think
an
I'm
unusual
okay
thought, and you can tell me I'm nuts, is maybe the elected officials have that flexibility of setting their own policies, but the department heads that answer to us, there's a county policy. Is that too muddled up, or is that a thought?
I don't know. I guess I would ask.
Which would be basically
ask our department heads.
I mean,
We have two elected officials
Billy
in the room.
Should be Billy and Andre mostly that would have a written policy, and then the elected officials would maintain their own policies. Is that, can Carrie weigh in?
I believe that it should be the same throughout.
Okay.
It shouldn't be separated different.
That's what I wanted, was an open conversation.
Right now, if someone goes into, if they work more than 40 hours, it goes into overtime during the week. The department head or elected official lets them come in a little bit early or leave a little bit late, as long as the 40 hours is addressed during the week. That's where it is now. So, but it should be the same for all employees.
Okay.
So you're saying, or your recommendation is that it should be the same whether it's department heads or elected officials, whatever.
Yes.
That policy should be in place for all employees.
That's my opinion as department head, Matt. As human resources, you're...
Yeah, I mean, from an HR perspective, I think the more uniformity you have, the better. And if we were to put this in the employee handbook, then obviously it would apply to all department heads and elected officials, subject to their discretion in certain circumstances. But yeah, I guess I would favor a more uniform approach.
Okay. Well, we are in agreement that we're in favor with moving forward with the flex time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess that's
okay.
The answer. And then,
do you want me to get with Matt and create a policy?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right.
Anything else?
No, I will. Yep.
You're going to yield the floor to the next person.
Yes, but I will stick around for the Teton Youth and Family Services.
Well, that's exactly where we are.
Okay.
Thanks, okay. Casey.
Thanks, Casey.
Thank you.
Hi there.
Hi.
You must be Sarah.
I am.
Okay, how are you?
Commissioners, I'm Sarah Cavallaro. I'm the Executive Director of Teton Youth and Family Services, and who I have with me today is Jeremy Solkoff. He's the Director of the Van Vliet Group Home and Crisis Shelter.
Good morning.
And a board member, Jim Hesser, who's been our interested community member who likes to come to these meetings with me, which I'm lucky to have. So thanks for meeting with us today.
Okay.
Before you today because we requested in, I believe it was in May, a $45,000 budget item to be a reimbursement for students that we work with at our Van Vliet Group Home or Crisis Shelter. I am not sure, I was out on some medical leave this summer, and we submit, how this works is we submit vouchers for students that we serve at our group home and crisis shelter to cover the uncovered costs from the state. So the state, when we get students in our group home, we have a per diem per student, and for our crisis shelter, the crisis shelter has a per diem per bed. So what we bill Sublette County for is for the costs that is not covered by the state for per diem. So the state covers about 50% of the cost, and we make up the other half from local government and private donations. So that's how we've been operating with Sublette County for as long as I've been there, which has been since 2000, and Jerry's been there since 93. So it's been going on for quite some time. This year we went to submit a voucher for, Jeremy came down, I believe you met with him in May of last year and talked about this budget item. And we were unaware that this was not approved or included in this last budget approval session, and so we're before you asking to reinstate that funding to make sure that we can serve your kids. So, questions or thoughts?
Mr. Chairman, if I remember correctly, I think the question came from Carrie, is how do we verify this, and then since that time, I've had some communication from our sheriff that it can be verified. Mm-hmm. So is that, am I right in this?
And I think we also had confusion on whether it was voluntary placements or court ordered placements.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And a lack of a contract.
We have never operated with a contract with Sublet, which we are more than happy to do. We do it with Teton County and we do it with the town of Jackson. To do the same in Jackson, we're happy to work with you all in creating that. Our crisis shelter is a voluntary placement, which wouldn't necessarily go through the sheriff's office, so that is a piece of all of this, but we can verify the students that we have with the sheriff, and our group home placements would be, the sheriff's office would know about those placements through the Department of Family Services and through the legal process of how that works. So both of those, we serve your students in crisis shelter and group home, so both of those would very easily be able to be verified.
And you know,
go ahead.
You are correct. Jeremy did come to us at budget time and made that presentation. I think when we got into the discussion of the budget, and as you, I'm sure, aware, we have a number of new elected officials, uh-huh. including the clerk and the county attorney.
Yep.
And I think there was some level of discomfort that arose because, and maybe confusion as well, because it might have been thought these were for court-ordered placements only, and it turns out they're not. There might have been some, not confusion, but questioning of wanting to assume the responsibility for approving those vouchers, mm-hmm. When there was no way of validating those, mm-hmm. because they weren't court ordered.
Right.
I think that's what led us through this process.
Sure.
I think we can continue the conversation and go from there.
Okay.
We've got your information on how many you've served over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I think that's been a worthy thing, and Jeremy's made it clear in the past that you're not charging us any more than the $45,000 we put, even though there may be times that your expenses cover more than that. So it's not to exceed, our charge is not to exceed that $45,000 that's in your request.
Yes, but that would be the maximum amount. And there's been years that we haven't billed the entire amount depending on how many students we have, so it's definitely driven on need from your community. We just met prior to this, we met with the county attorney's office, which was very helpful to chat with their staff and talk with them about how our processes work. It just sounds like we just need to have more systems in place, which we're happy to help make happen.
And so is it the situation now, and Sheriff, I'm asking you this question, that we have a way of following, or for lack of a better word, validating those individuals that are placed without court order into a group home or shelter or whatever?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So in the past, all the invoices have gone directly to the clerk. They've bypassed us. And so now we've gotten in touch with the Teton Family and Youth Services, and they're sending us, the sheriff's office, the bill, so we can verify that yes, this individual was put there, and then we can send that to the clerk with that validation that you are needing.
So what's your comfort level with this, and what's your opinion in regard to moving forward with this program?
So I mean right now Teton Youth and Family Services is an invaluable resource for our juveniles from the ages of 12 to 18. Without that, we're going to have to go all the way to Casper to find placement for these individuals. We have never had any issues. They're limited on number of beds, but they've always been accommodating to our needs, so to speak. And these aren't just a sheriff's office decision. This is a joint decision between the courts, Department of Family Services, and the Van Vleck House on placement of these individuals for the best interest of the child.
Any comments or questions from the commissioner, either to Teton Family Services or the sheriff?
Mr. Chairman, I think the main thing is that when we had a problem before, it was documentation and the process of how these kids got from Sublette County to Jackson. And with everybody being new, mm-hmm. we needed to know they weren't just hitchhiking up there and enrolling themselves. Well, it sounds to me like that has been corrected, and it's now going to the sheriff's department. And we all know when a kid leaves here and from Big Piney or from Pinedale, and they're going to the Van Vleck House, somebody knows they're going.
Yeah.
And we're responsible for them financially, all the way up to $45,000. So it is invaluable, and we do need to do it. But there again, being new, we're sorry you guys got caught in the middle.
No, that's fine. That's why we're coming down
here. Understandable. That's why we're here.
Commissioner Noble?
I would like to enter under a contract with them, such as the other counties and places are doing. I think we need to have that in our file. Clayton and you could work together to formulate that.
Yep.
Okay. Commissioner Bowden?
So based on what Tom just said, we need a contract, but I would move we go forward with funding up to the similar level as we did last year.
$45,000.
And to do that, we would carry, I assume we need to include that in our next budget transfer to where we can get back on track to where we need to be.
So if I understand, you made a motion that we are approve a $45,000 contract pursuant to the county attorney's office and Teton Family Services working through this contract to present us.
Second, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
So if you don't mind me asking a question, all the youth that are put there mm-hmm. from Summit County are court ordered? No.
No.
Not all.
Okay, so the other issues are?
Our group home is a court ordered placement, which is up to around six months to the youth care, and our crisis shelter is a 30-day voluntary, non-court ordered placement. So, group home goes through the court system, crisis shelter does not. It can be a family that is in crisis that needs a break from, you know, a 15-day break from with their youth, and that's what we work to reunite and bring the kids back to the community.
Okay, so those are verified by...
We have an intake process, so we have, you know, take down families, you know, information, contact information, et cetera. We have to report that to the state monthly, and so we just have a, you know, a form that we fill out with the child's name, social security number, contact information, and reasons why they come to us. So that's, you know, I think that would be a way we could, you know, we could validate who is coming.
So from a percentage standpoint, what is one versus the other?
We're having, so this year to date, you've had 2 group home kids from Sublette and 6 crisis shelter kids. Crisis shelter is a much shorter stay.
Right.
So the percentage of kids in crisis is much higher than the kids in group home, which I think is a good thing. It's saving a lot of money, and it's saving a lot of, kids aren't as escalated when they're in crisis. They typically come to crisis, we can settle whatever crisis is going on, and the kids can return home. 85% of the kids that we have in crisis don't go to higher levels of care, meaning they don't go to group home.
And generally don't come back,
yeah. So crisis is almost a preventative program. You know, we're helping families really early in the stages of, you know, maybe there was a divorce in the family that threw everyone into chaos, and the kids need some support and the family needs some support. What we can do is case manage that and provide some resources for them, but the family's generally strong, so they can go back to their community and they can move on with their life and be fine. We love seeing those cases. that's what we wish we would have said all the time. Then we have the group home situation that there might be, you know, the 15% that don't go or do go on to higher levels of care. We are working with a crisis kid, and we start peeling back the layers, and we start seeing, like, wow, there's a lot of stuff here. And that's where we would work with the sheriff's office and prosecuting attorney and DFS to talk about a longer-term court-ordered placement. And that's sort of how the process works. So a lot of kids, before they go to group home, are in a crisis placement, and we try to, you know, manage what's going on first and see if we can't help them there. And then probably, you know, the kids that can't handle it or their families that have a lot more going on, we move on to the group home level.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And Mr. Chairman, if I can add, when this agreement was put together years ago, it does not address the residential treatment program, which is called Red Top Meadows. And there's been a number of sublet kids that have gone through that program. It's a 9 to 12 month program, and obviously takes a little bit more intensive, you know, application of what we're administering. And since I've got the floor, I just want to thank you very much for the partnership that we've had. It's a daunting experience by the board to have to raise anywhere from $800,000 to $1 million every year just to keep this program going. So the fact that you're participating with us to your level and your comfort means a great deal.
Thank you for those comments. Yeah. Do we have any other questions from the commission?
I would like to make one comment when you mentioned the Red Top. I know there's a couple of kids from here that have been through that, and I have to say, yes, it is very well run program.
Okay. Not any other questions? We have a motion and a second. I'll call for the vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Thanks. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for your time and presence.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you all.
Thanks for coming over.
Sure.
Chad, I think we're ready for you.
What's next, Mr. Chairman?
We're on the fire wardens. We're on 1045.
I'll be brief too, Mr.
Thank
Chairman
you.
And Commissioner. Thank
you. Thank you.
I haven't seen that yet.
I'll come on.
All I have today is that we budgeted to purchase a new Wildland fire truck this year. We went out to bid and received a proposal from Hyman, Hyman Fire Equipment. Hyman is the company that was awarded our last contract to build a fire truck, and they came in at the exact same price as they did last year. I was very pleased by that. The proposal that we received is significantly under budget, and I'm very pleased with the work that Hyman has been doing for us. I'm looking forward to receiving the truck they're currently building for us. I'm looking forward to putting it in service. So with that, I recommend that we accept the bid as proposed, and looking for guidance from the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move we accept the bid as proposed. It's under budget. That's good news.
Second.
Motion and a second. Only comment I have is this is the exact same company. The first is the exact same apparatus at the exact same price as before.
Exactly.
And it was put out to bid. So. Any other comments?
I have just one question. Shad, is this a replacement for something or just an addition to?
Yeah, it'll be a replacement for an existing wildland fire truck that we have.
Thank you.
Okay. If there's not any other questions, I'll call for the vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, Chad.
That's all I have.
You did good.
Is there anything further? I'll stand
for you. Well. No. You did well.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Okay. I guess we can move forward with Dennis. Amazing. Dennis, we thought we were going to put you off, but here we are ready. Well, I think this should be pretty easy.
Okay. Well, we're hoping so. Right. We're hoping so. So, two agenda items for you today. The first, we can do that in whichever order you actually you like.
It's up to you. Whichever you
like. All right. Since that one's on top, the first agenda item that we have is the Kwok Minor Subdivision that was tabled for the last meeting. Again, this is a two-lot minor subdivision located within the Hoback Ranches. If there's...
I don't think, really, unless the commissioners so see it, I don't think there's a need to go over the discussion that you presented last time. I think that we tabled the decision because there was some concerns as presented from Mr. Sumrall, and there was a misunderstanding on my part in terms of what the role of the improvement district is and whose position is for them to enforce their own covenants. That's a misunderstanding. As I understand it, and I was duly informed by the deputy county attorney in a conversation with you afterwards, the obligation to enforce the covenants falls upon the improvement district itself. And it was also furnished information where by it was challenged and clearly been stated that we're not subject to any legal issue regarding that, as long as it fits the zoning and planning regulations which you stated to us.
Correct.
So I have no problem with that. If the commissioners do, feel free to speak your piece. Otherwise, I would entertain a motion to accept this request on the minor subdivision with the Quok.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to accept the Quok minor subdivision and hold back ranches.
Okay, got a motion and a second. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, I mean, if you want to take time, we can discuss it more. This is the same thing we went through at the last meeting.
Well, I understand.
So I just, if there's some uncertainty or you need more time.
Mr. Chairman, I think the only thing that was brought to light for myself was the fact that 9.5 is 10.
Yes, and that is what we have in our regs because of the short court report.
Everything is rounded up or yep. It's rounded down.
Mike, you have a comment?
I first of all, I apologize for not being at that last meeting where I can clarify a few things, but I know Commissioner Rauhauser had questions on, you know, how many lots within Hoback Ranches, and I did, you know, I had a rough number, but I did make a handout so you have an idea.
Oh, super.
And it's split into two parts. One is the original subdivision, which is the first ones. Those are how many lots are under 10 acres. And the second one are lot divisions and minor subdivisions that have happened since its inception that created lots that are less than 10 acres. So just wanted to verify that you're not setting a precedent and that this does fall in line with every regulation that the county has set forth. So
there's a total of 69 lots less than 10 acres?
Plus the 13. So
that's quite a few. Okay, thank you for that clarification. Yeah.
That's a no-brainer.
It meets the criteria.
Yes, it does.
It meets the criteria.
And it fits within the rounding up with the short quarter quarters in, that is mm-hmm. stated in our regs. So it's similar and it has been done in there in the past. Anyway.
Well, Mr. Chairman, so Dennis, there's been no change of thought on anybody within the planning and zoning board?
No. No, and that was a recommendation 5-0.
Mr. Chairman, Dennis, any of these that are 8 acres or less than 9.5, those pretty much were done in the original subdivision. When they built the subdivision, I don't know when that was, when they did that.
Yeah, early 70s.
Early 70s. That's
where those first couple really small lots came from.
Sure.
Since then, because of the short quarter quarters, mm-hmm. there's been several 9-point-odd
okay.
acre
okay. Very
divisions.
Good.
In there.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, we have a motion and a second. I'll call a vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Thanks, Dennis. Sorry right. for the...
Thanks, Dennis.
No problem. No, get everybody on the same page, and we can keep moving forward. So.
Okay.
The second agenda item was the conditional use for the Airbnb rental, which we have the resolution for him now to sign. So. And he did, as you see, get a letter from the Homeowners Association.
Yes.
That was the one requirement.
He apologized for not being here. He kind of got mixed up on the times.
I thought it was already done. I thought we were just signing. I thought you made the motion last meeting. I wasn't here.
No, we at the last meeting, what we said, we needed a letter for the conditional use from the homeowners.
So I make a motion that we accept resolution 19-100375B to adopt the recommendation of the planning and zoning board.
Okay. Do you have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? No? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries.
I thought I was just signing it.
Yeah, we had to get that letter. And he would have been here.
Okay.
He was figuring it was an evening meeting again, so he was.
I just can't
he brought that in to me the next morning.
Yeah, that was pretty straightforward. It was pending
yeah.
the Homeowners Association approval, yep. And that's what you furnished us.
Yeah. Then, for point of information, the next couple, we've got one or two items for this next month, but we're going to be working on kind of updating some of the zoning regulations and stuff. And as we kind of get that together, we'll try to also forward some information, just get some feelers to move forward. A couple of these changes in the zoning regs, I think, are going to take some public meetings, get some more input, and we'll try to get them corrected and updated, you know, as the county sees as a whole. So other than that, if you have any questions or anything?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thanks, Dennis.
Do you have the subdivision plot?
Get all my piles out of the way.
Starting to speed along a little bit.
What is?
Your reading's starting to start to come down again.
I guess we'll take a short recess because we have to wait till 11:30 for the next one.
Oh,
that's advertised for budget transfer.
And again, too, if you guys have any questions as you go through, don't hesitate to call me.
Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna